So today we're going to talk about coming trials, brothers, and how to face them. Okay, coming trials. We're in James, brothers, and James just fits right in. I didn't even realize it until I started saying, you know, I never preached out of James. I've done some Bible studies, but I've never preached out of James because I look in my files and under sermons, nothing in James. And I say, oh my gosh, got to take care of this. And as I started the first chapter, I realized, brothers, this transitions perfectly out of the series that we've been looking at. They've been thematic sermons. And the last one was was how God uses the time tool that he has in his tool bag, okay? He uses circumstances, difficult circumstances, to shape us, okay? And time, okay? A certain amount of time to do it. And so he uses all kinds of circumstances. And all of them tend to be trials, most of them, okay? Not all of them, but most of them tend to be trials. And so James, being, you know who he is? The brother of Jesus Christ, okay? The half-brother of Jesus Christ, born from Mary and Joseph, okay? Because they had children after Jesus was born. He was the first one from the Holy Spirit. But later, Joseph was able to be a normal husband to his wife. And they had other children. I think it was three brothers and two sisters. And one of them was James. He became, eventually, after Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, he became a believer. He believed in him. He trusted him. He realized he was the Savior, the Son of God. And he became the leader of the Jerusalem church, one of the leaders there. The apostles were there, of course, but they were called out eventually to other parts of the world and regions to share the gospel. But he stayed there, okay? This letter is to all the Jews who got pushed out, okay, or they were persecuted and they lost their possessions. A lot of them were poor, and so it's a letter of encouragement to the Jewish believers who are suffering persecution because they've trusted in Christ. Persecution from their own people. And also from probably the local governments for some reason or another. So we're going to look at four ways of persevering through trials. See this road, brothers, on the picture there, the trials and tribulations? That's the road we're headed on. Everybody, the whole world is headed to trials and tribulations. How we face them, brothers, is very important. That's what James is about, especially this chapter. How we face them victoriously, okay? Victoriously. Not as a victim, okay? Not as a helpless victim, but victoriously. So hopefully this will be good lessons for us. Remember, the study notes are just in your hand. They're also at the website. You can download those there too. I guess I better turn on my... Got everything going? Okay. Let's look at point number one. I have 4 points here. Point number one. First of all, James says, choose a joyful attitude in your trials. Okay? The most difficult thing in the world to do if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. The water, the river of God, we might say. James says in verse 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Okay, dispersed abroad. Greetings. Here it is, brothers. Verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Looking at verse 2, brothers, we see here that, point number A, we are commanded to rejoice in our difficult circumstances. Consider it is in the imperative, brothers. It's an imperative verb, and it's not a suggestion. It's not an alternative option for you or I, okay? Sometimes we say, I have the right to be ticked. You know, I have the right to be upset. I have the right to, and we claim all these rights to feel and treat people awfully. When we're going through difficulties. And we don't. We don't. This is a commandment that we are to face our difficulties, our irritations, okay, our provocations with joy. With joy. Consider it all joy. When you encounter various trials. Various trials, it means they vary. It could be a small trial. It could be a big trial. It could be a cause of fear. It could be a cause of irritation. It could be an annoyance. It could be it could cause anger. Okay, or it could turn into wrath, whatever. These various trials that you're going to face, you're to consider it all joy when you face them. Okay? Consider it all joy. And it wasn't James who invented this commandment, brothers. It started back in Matthew 5, verse 12. Matthew 5, verse 12. What does it say there? Jesus was talking, and he says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Why? For your reward in heaven is great. That alone can cause joy. That your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So when you're being mistreated or you're being targeted because you have the values, biblical values, because you love the Lord, because there are some things you will not do, okay? Because you know it displeases the Lord, because there's some things you will not agree to, okay? Agree about, because you know the Bible says it's wrong and it's a sin, then brothers, you're going to be targeted and you're mistreated. And he says, hey, you can rejoice because I have a great reward for you. A great reward for you in heaven. And you're in the same camp with the prophets of the Old Testament. So there's reason, brothers. He gives us reasons to rejoice. It's not just a pump yourself up situation. I just go pump, 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 and you know, and maybe I get some. No, brothers, there's reason God gives us that we can rejoice, and that's reward. The reward. Letter B, enter into the joyful outcome of endurance. There's an outcome that comes from when we decide, you know what, I'm going to agree with God and I'm going to rejoice. Huh? What does Job say? Job 23 verse 10. Remember Job, he lost everything. His property, his family, his health. He had nothing left except his wife. Huh? And friends who came to accuse him. He says, verse 10, he says, but he knows the way I take when he has tried me. He knows he's been under trial. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. As gold. Yeah? He had a positive attitude about the outcome of his situation, that God was going to reveal the gold or produce the gold in his faith. And a lot of us have a lot of rust and scale on us. And it's only trials, brothers, that really rubs the rust off, okay? And begins to reveal a shiny substance underneath, gold faith. Gold faith underneath, okay? And so we need to say, hey, you know what? Here's a trial here. God's going to reveal some gold in my life. Lord, do your work. Do your work. And show the gold. Yeah. Show the gold that you want to show through my life. And God will do it, brothers. There's a quote that I think I wrote down in your notes. It says, the worth of a soldier is not known in time of peace. The worth, the valor of a soldier, we could say, is not seen, is not revealed in time of peace, but in time of conflict is when those attributes are revealed. Okay, valor, worth, bravery. And so the Lord is going to allow conflict, difficulties to come in our direction. And brothers, and it's an opportunity for Him to show what He can do through our life. Yeah. To reveal the gold of the Lord Jesus Christ that He's building in our life. So, it gives us a perspective, brothers, how to face difficulties differently and with joy. Okay? It blows away people who don't know Jesus. Why are you happy? Why are you smiling? We all just, the company shut down and we all just lost our jobs. Why are you smiling? Yeah. Solomon. Yeah, it was a testimony of one of the members at my previous church. His company closed. And he remembered God's promises, you know, and he had a peaceful, joyful complexion when everybody else was mourning and complaining, and they looked at him and they said, "What is wrong with you?" And he said, "Because I know God is in control of my life and He has another job for me. I just gotta move forward and find it. Yeah? God's gonna take care of me." And He did. He did. Interesting part about him, he has so much faith. He gave his first paycheck as a worship offering to the Lord. When he got to his new job, he just says, this is my first paycheck. He says, I'm giving the first one to the Lord. Really? Are you really doing it? I wanted to say, you know what, don't do that. You know, just give give a portion of it, you know. But you know what? It was his act of worship. Yeah. Moved by the Holy Spirit, and he did it. I was blown away. Wonderful, wonderful faith. Oh, he later beat cancer. Yeah, the Lord just helped him get through that as well. You know, that was a great trial in his life. And now he's still serving the Lord in his church. So, point number two. To help us persevere through trial, we need to attain an understanding mind. Okay, we need to attain an understanding mind. About what? About our trial. And about God. That helps us go through the trial better when we understand what God is doing. Yeah. We want to know. When we go to the hospital with a serious condition, we want to know what the doctor's going to do with that scalpel. Okay? We want to know exactly where he's going with that and why he's doing it and all of that. We need to know. It gives us a sense of peace, okay? And what are his credentials? And has he done this before? You know, things like that. And so it's the same with our trials. A part of us wants to know what God is doing. Yeah. So many why questions. Why, Lord? Why this and why that? And why? Go to the Lord, okay? James 1:4, what does it say? And let endurance, okay, talked about endurance, have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And there's the question. Lord, how are you going to use this trial to make me perfect and more complete? How are you doing this? How are you working this for good? Huh? And that leads to the next verse. But if any of you lacks wisdom, you don't understand how God is going to make this better, or how God's going to use this for good in your life. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is not stingy about giving us understanding. This is spiritual understanding, okay? Because it's about how God is working in the spiritual realm, okay? To transform our life and our character and our faith. He's working in there. And so we need the spiritual understanding. He's not stingy. Sometimes, you know, have you seen those people with signs? So just a few loose change will do, right? And so a lot of people just dig for their change. Oh, change. Oh, I can do that. Here's a few, you know, quarters and pennies and nickels. Yeah. God's not like that. No, here's a 20. You're asking a few loose change. Here's a 20, brother. Here. God bless you. And God's not stingy about when we go asking for wisdom. He'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. And it probably won't be a voice from heaven. The clouds are open up and then God speaks. No. No, it'll the understanding will start coming. to you. It'll be maybe an example of somebody else's situation. Whatever it is, it might even be a dream, or it might be something you read or thought that comes like a gentle breeze into your mind, and it reveals something about what God is doing. It gives you insight. So brothers, God wants to give it to us. We got to ask. So believers need spiritual understanding to help them through their difficulties. It's a big difference, brothers. If going through a trial without no understanding is hard. You just got to hope things work out. But if you understand the game plan, if you understand the plan of God, you know, oh, I know where God's taking me. I know what He's doing, you know. Then it's much easier. Yeah, it's like going through these worldwide problems, COVID-19, you know. If you didn't see it, that these things are expected in the Bible, you know, you'd be like, oh, controlled by fear rather than by faith. Yeah, faith in what God has already said is going to happen and His plan for it. Yeah, so we need to have an understanding mind when we go through our trials. See, trials drive us to God. God is the source of abundant wisdom. Okay. And wisdom, what's it do? It reveals what God is doing. What He's doing in us. What He's doing through us to touch other people. How God is using it for good in our life. All of that, God begins to reveal it. Yeah? Sometimes it's right out of the Bible, right out of the scriptures. It jumps out at you. Oh, I know what God is doing. Yeah. So the scriptures are wonderful, you know. So that's how God, the process of how God works and uses trials. Some trials are going to bring people to Jesus for the first time. They've never trusted in Christ for salvation. You know, they know about God. They have a respect about God. They've gone to church, but they've never trusted Him with their entire life, with their sins for forgiveness, for their eternal security in heaven. They've never made that complete surrender to the one who made them and has a wonderful plan for their life. And it'll drive them to God. You know, they'll start to, you know, seek the Lord. You be ready. They're going to be around you. You're going to find them before I do. And you're going to have the answers. Yeah. Oh, I've learned this in church the other day. Or, you know, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. And it's helped me when I was seeking God. And boom, and share it, you know. So we are God's instrument of bringing people to Jesus. Yeah. I help you be a better instrument of bringing people to Jesus by giving you the word. Point number three, to help us persevere through trials, forge a believing heart in the Lord. Forge. While you're going through trial, forge a believing heart. Okay? This assumes you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that Jesus is your God and your Lord, and you're here to obey Him. You own nothing. He owns it all. He is Lord of your life and all that you own. Okay? It assumes all of that. And once you come to Christ, we still need to forge our faith, yeah? To increase our faith. Yeah? So we need to forge a believing heart. Okay? So let's look at verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. But he must ask in faith. That's where the faith is, brothers. Are you asking God, Lord, what are you doing and why? Then you trust that God is going to reveal it to you when it's time and how He's going to reveal it to you. He must ask in faith. Okay? Without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Jesus really was unpleased, maybe is the word, with people who lacked faith.
He was unpleased with people who lacked faith.
And so why must we forge our faith? Why must we forge our faith? Three reasons. Because our eyes often see the contrary of what God says is true or He's going to do. Okay, we see the world falling apart. We see protests. We see burnings. We see injustice. And we see all this. Where is God? The God of love. You see something, your eyes see something different, but His word says, I'm in control. Okay? And I'm going to use all of this to draw the elect out and to find Christ and to believe in Him. And so we need to sometimes see what is unseen. That's faith. So we got to forge that, you know, to remember what God's word is. Number two, because we have to unlearn unbelief. We have to unlearn it. We grow up learning unbelief and doubt, okay? Yes, we grow up believing mom and dad. As a little, mom says, you don't do this because this will happen. Okay, you know, the little babies, you know, they believe. Okay? But then they start discovering that people lie. And that people disappoint, and that people don't keep their promises, and that people say one thing but mean another thing, and they start to learn doubting and unbelief growing up. And then we hear about Jesus, okay? And we have to unlearn our doubt and begin to trust that Jesus was risen from the dead, that He did it, He went to the cross to pay for my sin so that I don't have to pay for it myself on Judgment Day. That He has a place in heaven for me and I don't have to go to hell. Okay, and that's a big thing to swallow when you are loaded with unbelief that you have accumulated. Okay, you have to unlearn that. Even as a believer, there's a lot of things, phobias that you have. Can I really trust God with all my life? Can I trust God with who's going to be my husband? Or shall I pick up myself? You know, things like that, you know. So it needs to be forged, brothers. Hard tends to be hard, like steel sometimes, and boom. And the trials force us, okay, to exert ourselves to trust God. To trust God. Yeah. And faith must be pushed out. I mean, faith must push out unbelief. Yeah. Unbelief in what? That God is really good. That God really cares about me. That God is really in absolute control. That's where the doubts are. And that's then we take control ourselves. Remember Solomon and his words here in Proverbs 3:5. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. See, this is where the believing heart is forged, brothers, in trusting the Lord with all your heart, okay? It's going to resist you like a spring, okay? It's going to want to return back to its original shape, but you just got to stretch it and stretch it, okay? There's a picture here of in the wording of the scriptures for the man. He says, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Okay? Driven and tossed by the wind. If you don't have your anchor in Jesus Christ and you're trusting Him with all your heart, then your boat is going to be rocked all over the place. And the biggest fear is the reefs. The reefs. But if you've dropped your anchor, okay, all the way down, and you say, my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, it hangs in there, brothers. You may go up and down and sideways, but you're safe. Yeah. Because your anchor is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. The rock of your salvation. The rock of your salvation. Last point. Be joyful, be wise, okay? Be trusting in the Lord and for your trials. And fourth, seek a humble spirit before the Lord. Yeah? Not only joyful, but humble. Humble. Because difficulties, disappointments, brothers, make us bitter. Make us angry. Make us, self-pity. You know, produce self-pity in us. And when you're in that situation, you're no good to anybody. Okay? You're no good to anybody. You can't encourage anybody. You're not good to be around with. You can't help any other people because you're focused on you and your pain. So it requires us to humble ourselves before the Lord as well. Not just seek for joyful, to be joyful in the midst of it, but to humble ourselves. Notice verse 9 through 11. It says, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. Who's a humble circumstance? These are poor Christians, humble circumstances. You're to glory in your high position. Verse 10, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and the flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Those are the lessons of the rich man. Okay, verses 11, yeah, of what he is going to learn when he's being humbled. But let's look at the lessons for the poor. The poor are to rejoice in their spiritual riches in Christ. Their spiritual riches in Christ. Let's look at Matthew 5:3. These are the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And he's talking about the blessings of being humble. Okay? The blessings of being humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yours, it belongs to you and me. Yeah. Because in the kingdom of heaven, there aren't prideful people. There are no prideful people in the kingdom of heaven. But in fact, people say, how is it possible that God would bring me here after what I have been like? After all the things I've done, how is it possible that God would bring me to this place? There are no prideful people. Yeah. So God wants us to humble ourselves now. Yeah. And not say, I don't deserve these hardships. I don't deserve these things happening to me. That's pride at work. It makes us bitter. It makes us bitter. So, the poor are to rejoice in their spiritual riches. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn because of the difficulties, the trials, for they shall be comforted. And last here, verse 5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. The gentle. Only humble people can be gentle. Yeah? It's those who are impatient and prideful and irritable that cannot be gentle with others. Yeah? So God wants us to be humble. Humble. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Here's the lesson for the rich, okay? The rich, they get lessons. Verse 10, what did he say in verse 10? He said, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, okay? What's that mean? Well, he's talking about both groups. There's Christians in both groups. The rich, there's Christians there, believe followers of Jesus, and the poor, probably many more who are poor, who are followers of Jesus, but even the rich, okay, God uses trials and hardships. And it says the rich man is to glory. That means another word for glory is to rejoice. Glory, you know. To rejoice in his humiliation. What's that? The trials that humble him, okay, or her. The trials that cause them to humble themselves before the Lord. Because it's when they're humbled that they're able to learn the lessons of verse 11, that the sun rises and scorches and withers and the grass fades and the flower falls off and the beauty of the appearance is destroyed, so the rich man in his midst of his pursuits will fade away. He realizes how temporary his riches are, his mansion is, his cars are. Okay, everything he possesses, these are just temporary tools, okay, that he's not to trust in. They can buy him no peace and no joy. Only the Lord, okay, can give us those things. Okay? Can give us those blessings. So he is humbled in his humiliation, okay, of his trials. Yes, they have trials too. Slightly different, but they have trials. They get sick. They can't recover unless the Lord does it. Okay, but so last thing. Let's look at the advantages of staying humble. The advantages. Okay, here are the advantages. If you don't want to be humble, if you want to react in the flesh like the world does and be angry, irritable, irritated, you know, lash out. It saves us from bitterness, brothers, to stay humble before the Lord. Lord, I humble myself before you in this difficulty for you to do your work. For you, I trust you, Lord, that you know what you're doing and how long this is going to be. And so I humble myself before you. Instead of raising up your fist and saying, God, what are you doing? You know, you're screwing it up. You know, that's not being humble before the Lord. Yeah. It saves us from bitterness. It makes us teachable. It makes us teachable. If you humble yourself, you're teachable for God to show you what he's doing. Yeah. Let me show you what I'm doing. You got a good attitude. I can't teach an angry child, okay? Hard to teach, I can't teach. So, he wants to show us what he's doing in us and through us and for us. It allows us to take our focus off ourselves. Self-centered, self-focused, bitter people, brothers, can't help others, okay? They can't help others. And if others try to help them, they find a way to get angry at them anyways. You ever try to help somebody who's upset and bitter and you try to become... And then they lash out at you? They misrepresent your motives? They can't even be helped, brothers. But we need to be different, brothers. We need to humble ourselves so that God can teach us and use us and we can see the pain of other people, not just my own pain. I can now see the pain, others who are in pain or others who are discouraged, others who are lost, and I'm able to be used by the Lord even better, because when I am weak, He is strong. He is strong. But we have to humble ourselves so this can happen before the Lord. Yeah. If you're hanging by a finger and your focus is on the finger, oh, that finger's going to go out. That finger's going to, oh, you know, and you can't see the other person hanging next to you. But if we humble ourselves before the Lord, we can turn around and say, hey, this person needs help. Yeah. You reach out. And then the power of God flows. Yeah. You forget about the finger. Because God's got you by the hand. He's got you by the hand. Yeah? That's how God works. And the trials are going to come, brothers, but we have each other. We have the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit. We have His Word, brothers, and He's going to shine like the stars of heaven forever and ever, like it says in Daniel. Through those who have insight. Through those who have insight into His Word, His will, who have understanding. Yeah. Oh, I thought I fixed that. Here we go. Here we go. We're going to things we can pray about, brothers. Always, brothers, if you don't know if you have trusted Christ with all your heart, every time is an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I want to surrender myself to you today, and I want to believe in you. I want to ask you to forgive me and change my life. He will. He will. But we're gonna pray. Teach us how to rejoice in our trials. Yeah? Teach us, Lord. Remind us. Remind us to rejoice in our trials, to receive them with joy because we know the outcome. Help us to stay humble, Lord, as we trust in you with all our heart. Instead of bitter, humble. Thank you, God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's when God's Spirit flows through your life, is when you decide to be joyful in obedience to God's Word. And His strength comes. Yeah. Let's stand, brothers. Let's stand together. This is how we face our trials, brothers, that are coming. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you that you have prepared your word for our needs, Lord. Especially as we face coming difficulties. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would shine, Lord, as we submit to your commandment and rejoice. And remember the blessings that are ours, the rewards that are ours in heaven. The fact that you are with us to strengthen us and to make us shine like gold. Lord, grant us that we might humble ourselves, Lord, under your mighty hand. To trust you, Lord, in what you allow to happen and come our way. Knowing, Lord, that you will produce patience and make us perfect and complete, Lord. Father, we also want to thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That your strength flows, Lord, like the river of God through a joyful heart. And thank you that we can supernaturally rejoice in the midst of difficulties because we know and where our anchor is hanging on to, Lord. Thank you. So fill us with your strength for this coming week that we might be your lights in Jesus' name. Amen.